In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Woo! Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. That is the award-winning CFMU, the Hamilton's best radio station, CFMU McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Dreilia, Overstreet's Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your 1 in 200 variants.
Selling for our 200 times the proper price.
What we're worth.
Which would probably be about zero.
A good amount of money.
Good, yes.
Yeah. We're right. We're not the chump change, Chris.
No,
we're not the feet of the chicken.
Hey, you know what? Sure. You know why? Because CFMU does not allow chump change to be on their radio.
No.
That's right.
If only our listeners knew.
That's right.
The screening process.
Enormous.
That we had to get through.
Oh.
The talent auditions.
Well, yeah. All the meetings we had to attend.
I know.
Yeah.
Just
craziness.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways, Chris, hey. Welcome back to another Wednesday for me and you at Comic Culture, talking about comic books and comic book shops.
And speaking of comic books and comic book shops, and there's actually a comic show on the weekend that you attended to, but we'll get to that a little bit later, right?
Right.
All right. Yes. Sounds good.
Right.
Perfect. All right.
All right.
Talk all about your endeavors at the comic convention.
My endeavors.
Endeavors.
Very good.
Endeavors.
All right. Well, let's get the show rolling with what do we usually get?
We usually start with new this week.
Right. New this week. Oh, right. New this week. It wasn't written down.
Yeah,
so
I know,
lost.
I know. All right. And new this week is brought to you by Batman Dark Knight Rises, coming to your local variety store and or movie store or I can't say Blockbuster anymore. Anyways, it's coming out next week.
On DVD?
On DVD and on Blu-ray next Tuesday.
Right. Line up now.
Yes. All right. Well, so speaking of Batman, Batman, The Dark Knight, let's go with our DC pick of the week, Batman the Dark Knight, number 14, by Greg Hurwitz and David Finch. Now, why did I choose this book, you're asking?
Chris.
Yes.
Why did you choose that book?
Because, you know what? It looks so darn good. You know what? David Finch's art is phenomenal. It's not for everybody, but man, this guy can draw. And you know what? This issue has the Scarecrow in it. How cool is that? And it's sort of I don't want to say it's a completely redesign, but it's a bit more of a Arkham Asylum up design, if that's not really a word. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a little more gruesome, a little more creepy looking.
Mm.
David Finch, wow, you know what? He does dark really well.
He does dark really well.
And I even like his Chester Cobblepot. Oswald Cobblepot.
Oswald. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
He's the penguin.
That's a nice cover. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but almost Wrightson-esque on the
Scarecrow.
On the Scarecrow.
You know, his inking is kind of Wrightson-esque. The way he does the inking
on
the sleeves and everything,
it does
look like Bernie Wrightson. Yeah. Absolutely. Good call on that.
All right. Chris, hey, Batman, turn off the dark. No. Hold on. Batman, The Dark Knight.
Is that still going? Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark?
Of course.
We got to get down. We got to go down there one of these days.
Big hit. Number 14, Batman, The Dark Knight, is at your local comic book shop right now.
It is.
So run.
All right. Next up, we've got, I've got two for the Marvel side of the books here. I decided to go with, FF, Future Foundation, number one, by Mike Allred. And he is both the writer, he's the artist and does the covers, and Matt Fraction is the writer. Now, Future Foundation, it's got, your typical characters like, Ant-Man and Leech. And, I don't understand this book at all. I don't get it. I know it's got, Mr. Fantastic in it, but it's got, you know, like Dragon Man in it, and it's got Crystal from the Inhumans in it.
Oh, they're
it.
Going into the archives.
Medusa, yeah, She-Hulk's in it, and like it's just all over the place. It's kind of wacky. It's kind of weird. I kind of like it a little bit, but at the same time, I kind of find it kind of odd.
It's kind of wow, kind of now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got Ant-Man in it. Like it's just weird, right? Wow. But you know that is very typical Mike Allred-esque.
Okay, Allred. You know, I know Mike Allred's art style.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say I like it.
It's not for everybody. That's for sure.
But it's like the worst cover of it. You know, like
it's not a great cover.
It's
the cover
pretty bad.
For a number one. It's not that great. I gotta say. I mean, I know. I don't know. I know what Mike Allred's art is like you said, and it's just sort of them hanging out on the cover. Like, there's really nothing to it. There's nothing splashy about it.
Yeah. Well, I hope it reads well. Let's put it that way, because the cover hasn't sold me, Chris.
No. But you know what cover's going to sell you?
Which one's that?
Is the cover.
FF, number one.
Oh.
Is at your local comic book shop today.
It
so
is.
If you like Mike Allred, check it out.
Yes. And you know what cover's you're going to be sold on?
What's that?
Uncanny Avengers number 2.
Oh.
Is that not the coolest cover in a long time? Does that,
that is
not,
a nice
that's
cover.
Like a Starenko.
Who's the guy on the front?
Red Skull.
Oh, right. Yeah, Red Skull. Okay.
See the giant Red Skull?
Now that you look at it.
Yeah, there's a giant Red Skull in there. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, awesome looking cover. It gives me it harkens back to the Starenko days, don't you think?
Yeah,
the
very nice.
Psychedelic kind of look to it. Yeah. Awesome book. I love the Uncanny Avengers. I think it's a great title. I think there's great art, great writing. Everything's good about it in my books. I just love it.
Well, Uncanny Avengers, wasn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong.
And I will.
Okay. Uncanny Avengers.
Yes.
Wasn't that one of the big new titles?
Like absolutely.
One of the like flagship new titles?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Absolutely. This was the book to read kind of thing.
Right
for sure.
All right. Uncanny Avengers.
Well, of course, and this is the one. It's by Rick Remender and John Cassidy, right? So, I mean, great writer and great artist.
Right. Now, this isn't a spoiler, I'm sure, because number one already came out. So what do you think, Chris? What do you think? Tell me what you think of this lineup. Is it your starting six for your hockey team?
Okay, who you got?
Captain America.
Yeah.
Thor. Scarlet Witch. Havoc. Wolverine and Rogue.
They're almost all there. I don't know about Havoc or Havoc, you know, as most people call him. But you know, I would say that okay, we definitely got Captain America is definitely not.
Well,
in
he
there.
Has to be an Avenger.
Thor is definitely got to be in
he
there.
He has to be an Avenger.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch has to be an Avenger.
Has to be
right?
an Avenger.
On the other side, where you've got like the mutants, right? You've got Havoc, Rogue, and Wolverine. Well, you know, I understand where Marvel's going with that.
Right. Well, they're the uncanny Avengers.
They're the uncanny, right?
They're mixing it,
so they're mixing it up. But and you know, and here's the thing. Here's the dilemma that Marvel probably had for years. If DC can put all their best characters together in one book in Justice League, why can't Marvel do the same thing?
I think that's a plus, though, Chris. I think that's a plus that Marvel didn't have to.
I agree.
You see?
I agree.
You see? You ever remember Asia, the band Asia?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know
well,
they
were apparently a super band, you see.
Oh.
They were like, I'm going to get this totally wrong.
Okay.
Right. But they were like from Yes. And then from Chicago or something like that. Like two good bands. And then the main guys went to form this super band.
Super band. And they formed Asia.
And they formed Asia.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Or maybe it was Journey. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But my point.
Well, there's a journey from Asia to Chicago. And
yeah. See, you got it. I think you've nailed it right on the head there. My point, though, is you put, it's like these like, you know, the old FF. Was one of those things where, Thing on his own is lame, Invisible Girl on his own is lame, but put together, they're awesome,
yeah,
right? So you don't need, Marvel was always lucky that they didn't need to put Batman and Superman and Green Lantern and Flash on the same team and Wonder Woman, right?
Exactly, I completely agree.
So just kind of goes against what
but,
they've done.
You know, and the good thing about the Avengers, the old Avengers series, was that you would get characters like, not that he's everybody's favorite, but you would get characters like Dr. Druid, or the Shroud, or all these sort of B/C-listers, but at least they were kind of cool because they were kind of added in.
Everybody loves Hawkeye,
right?
In the Avengers,
right? Well, people like the new Hawkeye too, by the way. But
why do you gotta contradict?
I'm just saying. But for a long time, Hawkeye was a hard sell,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
for a long, long time. It's only the most recent miniseries that people love him again. But for a long time. And let's not forget that people are only starting to love him again because of the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
You ask anybody who Hawkeye was 2 years ago, they would have said,
Who the hell is this Hawkeye?
The guy from MASH? What? Hawkeye?
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I used to like MASH. Yeah, yeah. All right, Chris. Well, that's good. That is the Uncanny Avengers, and that's number two. And that, my friend, is at your local comic book shop today.
Right. All right. And last but not least, we have, you know what? It was bound to happen. We knew it was coming. It finally came out today.
It came.
And it is My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic by IDW.
My Little Pony.
Yes. It is here. Written by Katie Cook with art by Andy Price. Katie Cook, I met a long time ago at the Chicago Comic Con.
Right.
And that back then, her art was selling. She would sell like sketches for like $5.
Right.
And then the next year, they were $10. And then the next year, 2 years after that, they were up to $70 for a painting.
Look at her go.
And now she's doing My Little Pony. And I bet she is going to be swamped with people wanting to get pictures of My Little Pony.
Now, this My Little Pony thing.
Yes.
Is crazy.
Insanity.
Did you know our shop and all the shops, I believe, across North America have been allocated their My Little Pony number ones?
That's craziness.
Yes.
That is pure craziness.
So now, I was talking to Mark at the store, and he said that it's kind of dumb because what happens is IDW takes these final order cutoff days where you have, you know, you basically all the stores at a certain date tell you how many copies they want.
Right.
And then IDW can, with confidence, because the orders are put in,
right,
go in and print them.
Right. 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 Fair enough. Yeah.
And they'll do a 10-20% overrun.
Sure.
You know. So what happens is apparently these things are printed in China and the print run is sent to those people there like 2 weeks before the FOCs come in. So they, like, the FOCs are just academic. They don't even matter. The final order cutoffs.
Oh,
like,
final,
you know,
oh,
these final order cutoffs, right, for these orders. So
they're being printed before the actual orders came through.
Yeah, they're being so now they underprinted.
Oh.
And so now everybody's being allocated. All the shops are being allocated.
So how many copies are you going to put away for your vault?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
I'm not going to say.
Now,
but what we don't do as a shop, and what I, this is I'm going to, you got the soapbox, Chris? Can I borrow that?
Yeah, 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 here you go.
Okay, I'm on the soapbox right now. This is what local comic book shops cannot do.
Okay.
What
is that?
They do it because it helps the bottom line.
Right.
Okay. But it helps the bottom line, I think, this week.
Right.
And it doesn't help the bottom line next year and 10 years out.
Right, right.
Is that when if this thing today sells out by 4.
Yep.
Which
it might.
What some comic shops will do is they'll say, oh, we sold out.
Yes.
And on their eBay store, they'll have 40 available at $19.99.
Or,
rather than the $3.99
copy. Or, hey, I sold out, but you know what? Maybe I might be able to get you a copy, but I got to get it from a buddy, and it's going to cost you a little extra.
$20 or something like that. So,
okay, well, here's something that probably everybody would, in their right mind, who's interested in comics and wants to speculate.
Yeah.
Is this a comic that people should be speculating on? Should they go and buy 10 copies of it to put away? Is this something that, you know, or is it going to be the next Garfield that nobody's going to care about, or or Heathcliff?
No.
Right?
I think this My Little Pony thing, this whole brony culture around My Little Pony is pretty massive. Now, Chris, you and I don't know if we mentioned this on the radio before.
Okay.
You and I, Laura, who manages Big B Comics in Hamilton.
Right.
She does a podcast every week.
Oh, right. Okay, yes.
And she did one on My Little Pony.
Right.
And one of these My Little Pony podcast stations
picked it up. Yeah.
And she said she had 120,000 downloads of her podcast, or something like that.
It's crazy.
That's how insane.
But you know what this tells you? That when you upload,
we should talk about My Little Pony more.
This show, make sure you have links talking about
My Little Pony. Yeah,
hashtag My Little Pony.
My Little Pony. But yeah, so there's a whole bunch of these brony My Little Pony type people that will want a copy of this.
Right.
Right.
So. Absolutely. And there are various covers.
Yes.
To this, right?
Yes, there are varied covers.
If you want to be a completist, like most comic collectors are, you want to make sure you get all
and
the
I
covers.
And I think this will fall into the category of it'll keep the property alive for the new kids.
Yeah. Yep.
And the nostalgia-driven older kids and the parents will be able to pick it up and relive the nostalgia of it.
I'm going to buy a couple copies. Well, for my nieces, of course.
Of course. Yes. Of course, right.
Right.
Anyway, so we're expecting good things from My Little Pony.
Right.
That is a book you should definitely check out when you head into your local comic book shop today.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, let's take a quick musical interlude here. And I have been demanded by you, Walt, earlier.
By me.
To, from now on.
From here on in.
From here on in, at least one Krantz Spider-Man song a week.
One Krantz Spider-Man
now,
song a week.
Amazingly enough, I have
and
not.
And once a year, a Krantz show.
At least once a year.
At least
I'd
once
say
a year.
Once a season.
Once a month?
No, well, that's a bit much.
Okay, once a season.
Once a season.
All right.
But you know what? There are so many. There's lots that I have never even played. So, and here's one of them here. This one is called Down the Hole.
Hold on, Chris.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, Chris. That's some good stuff, man.
Oh, there you go, man. The smoke out of here, man.
Woo!
Chris, remember...
Psychedelic, man.
Remember on Twins?
When Twins.
Arnold,
oh,
when
yeah,
Arnold,
yeah, yeah.
When Arnold gets laid for the first time and it pans over to his face. That's
right.
The face I had. Listening to this music. Telling
wow,
you.
That is something else. And,
yeah.
You know, good
thank
news.
You, Chris.
You know what? Audience, you can look forward to one of those every week from the rest of the show.
That's living. All right, Chris, let's move it over to the mailbox.
Mailbox, yes.
Okay,
mailbox.
And this week,
mailbox.
What did I say?
Mailbag.
Well, okay, mailbag.
It is a mailbag, right. Mailbox, whatever. It's all the same.
Mailbag.
Yes.
All right, mailbag. And mailbag is brought to you by... what's it brought to you by? It's brought to you by, yes, it's okay to play Christmas music this week.
Excellent. Excellent.
And because there was a big brouhaha about playing Christmas
yeah,
music earlier.
Yeah, yeah,
starting
yeah.
next week, you know, I think on this show, we'll play Christmas
I
music.
Think even this week it's good.
All right. Anyway, mailbag. Dear Chris, I keep hearing about the Facebook game Marvel Avengers Alliance. Is it any good?
You know what? Who wrote this?
Shelley.
Shelley. Oh, Shelley.
From Newmarket.
Okay, Shelley from Newmarket.
Oh.
All right, Shelley, you know what? First of all, I love this game. I'm actually addicted to it, I have to say. So for those of you who are not aware, they're on Facebook. You know, Facebook has these little apps,
never
right?
Been on.
These little. You've never been on Facebook?
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
You know, you really got to get into the now, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Marvel Now.
Marvel Now. And you can
Walt
start.
Walt Now.
Get into the Walt now, man, with Marvel now, all with right. Marvel Avengers Alliance. Anyways, on Facebook, they have these little game apps. And one of the newest and coolest one is the Marvel Avengers Alliance. And you know what? So basically, you create your own character. And so you become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then you fight along other characters from the Marvel Universe against all the Marvel bad guys, right? So it's just like kind of like a little, it's called what you call like a turn-based fighting game. So like you take a turn and then they take a turn and you kind of zap.
Are you only playing them or are you playing a community?
You're only playing them, but until you get to the next level, then you can start to play community.
Take it to another level.
Yeah, man. Yeah, boy. So the first part of it is just playing the regular game. So where you have characters like, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and Black Widow.
Thor
comes into it. Yeah. And then the more you play, you can either, well, here's the thing. So you can either play lots and gain lots of experience points, or you can pay money to get more experience points. And either way, once you get more experience points, you can then buy new characters. Right?
This is like a lesson in life. Really.
It kind of is.
You just pay your way through.
That's right.
Or you can work hard to get it.
That's right. Exactly. It really is. And then eventually there's a player versus player version where you can play other people who are currently playing online. Right. But, you know, it's a lot of fun.
So the Facebook thing.
Yes.
Is it only available through the Facebook?
Only through Facebook.
Oh.
It's called Marvel Avengers Alliance. And
so isn't there something similar like through like, I don't know.
Oh, sure. There's
PS3
lots of. Yeah, absolutely. There's other fighting type games through on, you know, right. that I'm sure will either have come out or in the past or will be coming out. Marvel versus Capcom plays all
okay,
that
but
sort
not
of things.
This
is something completely different. It's only for Facebook.
Oh.
It's cool. And, you know, like the first game, you play against Madame Hydra, then you play against Baron Zemo, then MODOK comes into play.
MODOK.
And Whiplash, you know, so there's all lots
father.
Of great characters.
That seemed to fit the. Chris, I lost my train of thought.
I don't think MODOK would ever say, I'm your father.
No. Did you know MODOK was one of the founding members of AIM?
Yes, and do you know what his now MODOK is a what's it called an acronym
anachronism M.O.D.
yeah
D dot O
do you know what it stands for?
Of course I do.
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, you don't even know. Here, man, you call yourself a comic book guy.
I'm showing you my cards, buddy.
Mental organism designed only for killing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, right, that's right.
Yeah. Glad
that's
I had
right.
you there.
Yeah,
it was a C, but you're right. It was okay.
It is.
What was I talking about before?
I don't know. You're blabbering on about something or other.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter, apparently.
Anyways, the game is great. It's a lot of fun if you want to kill some time while you're at work or otherwise.
Oh, right. Okay, now
we're talking about
it. Yeah, okay. We're talking about the Facebook game. All right. How do you like Facebook is like a thing, right? Like a place
it's
to
kind
go.
Kind of a big
no,
thing.
No, you know what I mean? It's a place to go. You can get to it on your flipping phone.
Yes.
You can get to it on your iPad, on your iPod, on your iPod. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Whatever you do, do not use your iPod
in
public.
Don't pull out the iPod.
In public.
My question is, how do you like? What do you do the fingers? Like, what do you play it on? Like, how do
it's
you?
Not,
do?
It's not like it's not. It's just keys, right? So you hit. You it's like a use like a mouse type thing. So you scroll over with the mouse and you hit click on your character and then you click on what you want him to do and then you.
Oh, so it's not one of those controller things where you're going 100
mashing.
Miles an
no,
hour.
No, no. It's just a fun little. It takes. It's a very easygoing game. Anybody like kids from 5 to 85 can play.
It's like an Angry Bird thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
I get it. I'm getting.
Yeah, you're finally getting hip to this stuff there, Walt.
I'm learning,
I'm
Chris.
Impressed.
I'm learning. All right, let's move this show along, Chris. And let's get to the crux of the biscuit.
The biscuit of the show, and that is the industry news.
Industry news.
And industry news is brought to you by early Christmas shopping. Get it done now before the Christmas rush kills you.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Don't go shopping. Don't go shopping on, like, December 22nd,
no.
23rd. You know why? Because Chris and I will run you over.
Because we'll be out there finishing
yeah.
our shopping.
Chris and I will run you over. All right. Okay. Where were we on? Industry news?
And it's still on industry news,
oh, right.
Yes.
Okay, we didn't
change. All right, let's talk about Zack Snyder.
Let's talk about Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder is the director on the new Superman movie.
He is, isn't he?
Superman, what's
the Dark Knight.
What's it called? Sorry, Superman what? Man of Steel, right.
Man
Superman,
of Steel,
Man of Steel.
Sorry.
I was going to say Superman Returns, but that was the old one. Superman, Man of Steel. So Zack Snyder is doing the new Superman, Man of Steel. And so he's been getting a little bit of flack about the costume.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going along with the new 52 Superman, which is
blue
not...
Blue jeans?
No. No, well, he doesn't have the tights. Sorry, he has the tights, but he doesn't have the red trunks.
Right, right.
Right, so...
So they want red trunks?
No, well, he says that there's no way you can do it. You can't pull off the red trunks in today's...
And be taken seriously.
And be taken seriously, that's right.
I can imagine Superman beating up a guy, look, pal, I don't want you in this part of town again. And he's got those red tights on.
Well, exactly. That's right.
It takes away from the whole effect.
That's right. You know, he says here, the costume was a big deal for me, and we played around with it for a long time. Everyone else said you can't have briefs on him. I looked at him at approximately 1,500 versions of the costume with briefs.
Chris.
And he says, you know what? You can't do it.
Chris, what do you think of boxers?
I know. He's like, I like boxers.
Boxers. You think boxers would work on them?
Probably, yeah.
Right? Because they go a little bit lower.
And what if they had little S's on them?
Yeah, well, they're not as risque as
briefs.
Yeah,
that's true.
And
yeah.
They don't ride up, right? Yeah. Which is really, really important when you're fighting crime, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So,
well, he said.
Anyway, Zach, maybe consider boxers if you're stuck on briefs.
He says the final version is very modern, but the relationship to the original costume is strong. Mm. So it's going to be like a melding of the two, you know,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right. Hey, listen. I don't see everybody collectively bitching about Batman's all black costume in the movies, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Do you remember when people did have a problem with the Joel?
Did I say a bad word?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying. You know what? I'm just saying. You know, I don't need to say the B word on there.
Fair
Maybe
enough.
I don't want it. I can just say.
Yeah. Chris has just been recently married.
I can use. I can use the word bad instead of B-yotch.
B-hotch.
You know what? People did have a problem though when it comes to costumes. Do you remember the? Let's not forget the Batman full nipple version from Joel Schumacher, right?
Yeah.
You know. So you know, people do have a problem with costumes in general for superheroes. If they're not there can be a lot of flack.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some people like the full nipple.
I know a few that do.
Well,
and it's part of a it's just a. You got to go with the flow, Chris.
Yeah, you really do.
You can't be stuck on one costume. That's the problem is everybody, you ask 20 different guys, they'll like 20 different costumes.
20 different nipples.
Right, 20 different nipples.
That's right.
20 different briefs. They'll want the brief, wedging. They'll want the brief, going,
full thong Superman.
Right. Whatever. Come on, just relax. Just let's, I think what they got to do with the costumes is they got to.
Let it all hang out.
Yeah, but that. Yeah. Forget what I was about to say. I really like the hat. Because I had something really profound.
Right, sorry.
You had that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
But no, just let it, morph. Let it develop with the times.
I completely agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what?
Hey, listen, though.
Yes.
While we're talking about this Zack Snyder guy and Superman, and you know how you and I on this show have said, what DC has to do is they have to do what Marvel did and use their movies to set up other movies.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I mean, I'm reading now.
Well,
what?
So,
they're doing Man of Steel may set up Justice League?
Well, maybe, but again. You know what? Here's my problem. Why don't, clearly the precedent has been set with Marvel, right? They have all these individual movies and it culminates in the Avengers. You know, it's sort of like an orgasm of movies,
right.
So whereas DC is like, hey, let's have the orgasm first and then we'll go off and do the rest of the movies.
Nah.
Right? Because that's what they're doing. They're talking about doing the Man of Steel movie and then the Justice League and then they're going to have the individual movies about them afterwards.
Right.
I mean, it's
But hold on. That would work if the other one set up Justice League 2.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
Yeah. So if the Justice Leagues are the pillars to the bridge,
right,
then it would be fine.
Right.
Right? If Justice League 1 establishes the characters and then the characters go out on their own, and then it sets up Justice League 2. But as long as each movie has a key, an obvious setup for what's coming.
There would have to be an ongoing storyline within every individual movie set up from the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
So that it's almost like a continuation. Almost like, oh my God, I'm going to say it. It's almost like those Marvel like the comics, right? Where you get the main storyline, and then you got to go off and buy each individual comic.
Those damn events!
It's like those events, right? Where it's going to do like for a movie, where you have the main storyline of the Justice League, and then you got to go out and watch every individual movie.
Here's the thing: they have to be self-contained, though.
Well, yeah, and usually, right. usually, but the
what, I, what I wanted, what I want to see with the movies, though, what I want to see with the movies, hey, you know what? Self-contained is fine, but we're all buying in, and this is what they should realize: we're all buying into this. Okay, so don't make me sit through 17 stupid minutes of credits to see 3 seconds of some guy's face on an asteroid to get all excited.
Right?
You know, like. Weave it into the show.
Right, right.
Like you know, we're advanced enough now. We get it now. Yeah, we'll wait for the credits to get like that tidbit of what's coming next.
Right.
But also allude to it during the movie more than you already have.
Right.
It can be self-contained, but it also can allude.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Subplots,
absolutely.
You know,
yes.
that kind of stuff.
Because, you know, if they could pull it off with, if they could have the main storyline with subplots enough that each of those subplots ended up being in their own movie, so Batman had a subplot and Wonder Woman had a subplot and Green Lantern had a subplot and all those kind of things, that might actually work as long as it was self-contained but somehow culminated in the next Justice League movie. That would, sort of genius would have to write all that.
Chris, I love it when you talk subplots. Ah, it's exciting stuff.
I'm just saying, okay. But speaking of movies,
what you're saying, it's the way you're saying.
Speaking of movies, and not at all. Speaking of movies, but speaking of teasers, which we talked about, you know, with Man of Steel a little bit because that's coming out soon.
Sure.
Okay, we see this all the time in movies.
Yeah.
And you know, right? So movies come out, and you know, like 8 months beforehand, we'll see like a poster or a still of a movie or something, and it just sort of you know flashes a little bit something,
or like that first 30-second clip of the film, or
exactly.
something like that. Yeah.
Well, it looks like comics are taking its cue from the movie industry because now Marvel is teasing the new X-Termination comic, which is the only tagline that has come out with it so far is Worlds Collide. And
yeah, I saw this. This is so cool. So what Marvel does is they put out a picture of like a cover, and there's Wolverine on it, and it's called X-Termination.
Yeah.
And it doesn't tell you squat.
No.
About what's going on.
No.
And it says, you know, I don't know, it gives you, I think, a date. But it's like,
it looks like it's got,
it's like people like the websites are picking this stuff up and they're all excited about it, and fanboys are going, oh!
It looks like it's got Nightcrawler and Wolverine on it, and I don't really quite understand it.
I don't think you're supposed to at this point. That's why it's a teaser.
It really is. Yeah. People, and as you say, people are going, oh!
Man, look at that, it's got Nightcrawler and Wolverine.
Can you do that again?
Oh!
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, dear.
Wait a minute. I don't get it. Anyway, yeah, it's very cool, though, that Marvel is teasing us.
Yes, they are teasing us a little bit. All right, you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll get back with more industry news. And this is Supergirl by Saving Jane.
I'm the life of the party. So contagious.
Nicely done, Chris. And who was that? Was that Blondie?
That was Saving Jane.
Saving Jane.
Saving Jane. Now,
from
course,
Tarzan.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No, I don't think it's the actual Supergirl that we're talking about from comics, but I thought it was a kind of a neat idea. Yeah.
Listen, Chris, it's wordplay, right? You hear Supergirl,
wordplay,
and you think comics.
Well, I do. Right. Absolutely.
Are you telling me Supergirl, right away, Action 252?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
What else am I going to think?
Well, I don't know.
Exactly.
Saving Jane.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Apparently not.
All right, let's just move this thing along. Let's talk about, now you're an art collector. You're an art fan.
Well, I wouldn't say, you know what? I used to buy a lot more before I got married. Not that I'm saying anything about
No, not at all.
But, you know.
Good thing the wife doesn't listen to the show.
No, good thing. And you know what? Yeah, but this is crazy. I do keep up on what's selling.
I saw this story. I thought of you. I go, which one did Chris buy?
Yeah.
So some big blockbusters. Now, I hope the listeners know who Frank Frazetta is.
Okay, you know, I would think that shame most of them
do. Shame of you if you don't.
Did you say shame of you?
Yes.
Shame of you.
Old guy I used to work with. Walter, shame of you. Anyway.
You know what? Okay, well, for those of you who aren't really aware, Frank Frazetta, you know, basically epitomized the look of Conan. If we want to talk about the layman person who doesn't know anything about
that
Frank
would
Frazetta,
be his kind of creme de la creme, the piece de resistance.
Piece de resistance.
Yes. The one if you had to peg one thing.
Yes.
And he's beyond one thing.
Well, he really is.
But if you had to peg one thing, it was his Conan.
That's right. And that's basically why they got Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Conan, because of the way that, you know, he looked in Conan.
Yes.
Conan!
Yes!
What is best in life?
Yes.
All right. So, so you're saying that, so the original Frank Frazetta paperback cover for, we don't even know what that is from.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a Conan piece.
It's not a Conan, no. It looks, it looks some sort of spacey.
Maybe John Carter-ish or
something.
Yeah,
maybe
like
John
that,
Carter, yeah. $262,000.
Nice.
So you know what? All those people who used to think that, you know, buying original, you know, pulp art and pop culture art was ridiculous. You know what?
It's not.
It's not. It's definitely an art form.
$262,000 for an original oil by Frank Frazetta, beautifully done. But here's what I like. Here's what I like.
What is it you like?
And this is the power of comic books.
Okay.
Or as our friend used to say, comics books. Okay. The power of comics books is this.
Comics books.
It's, where am I? I'm reading, but I can't see. Oh my God, it's all foggy. Calvin and Hobbes, a Sunday strip from Calvin and Hobbes. Chris, are you listening?
I'm listening.
You cannot get more removed art style from Frank Frazetta and Watterson's Calvin and Hobbes.
You're absolutely right.
You can't.
You know what?
Frazetta is like
power
and mass
and painting.
And dark. Calvin
and
Hobbes is like a stuffed bear and a kid.
Well, a stuffed tiger.
Stuffed tiger and a kid. And that one Sunday strip got $203,000.
Craziness.
I spit on you.
I felt it. It's okay, though. But you know what? It was all part of the moment.
So
it's all
excited.
Good. I know. It's all good. But you know what? This was the very first Sunday strip ever sold, as you said earlier. And you know what? Calvin and Strips.
Woo!
Calvin Strips. Yeah. That's a completely different comic book.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Calvin.
Not available at your local comic book shop, unfortunately. But online,
you can
get one.
Buy it online. Yeah. Boy, it's selling like hotcakes. Calvin and Hobbes comic strips, first of all, they never come up on auction, right? Because Bill Watterson had decided a long time ago that he would not get into the whole marketing thing, that he would keep all of his artwork. Only a few things came available.
You know how they come up on auction? The gifts.
Yes, that's right.
They give the guys, and the guys would hold out, and 20 years later, it's like, oh, my God, I need a kidney, man. I got to sell this thing.
I wasted all my money on hookers and blow, man.
I need more heroin, man.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to sell the stuff, right? And that's why they're so rare to sell. But, I mean, I loved seeing, you know, we all know, anybody that's well-versed in the comic book industry knows the power of Frank Frazetta.
Yes, absolutely.
And his original oil paintings and stuff like that. Yes, $500,000 even for a great Conan piece, Death Dealer or something like that.
Right.
You know, you ask your price. But it's great to see right along the big Calvin and Hobbes. You know, $203,000 bucks. Booyah.
And as we talked about, probably over a month ago. Oh, pardon me. as we talked about over a month ago, the only thing I don't like about this is the fact that the person that sold it was Brian Bassett, who was the originator of Atom. Did the Atom comic strip.
Right.
And apparently he doesn't have any money because, I guess syndicated cartoonists don't have money?
See, here's
I don't get that.
About this Brian Bassett guy, and not to go off on a tangent, which I'm going.
Yeah.
Didn't he sell Atom because he needed money?
Probably.
Yeah. He sold Atom a couple of years ago, got a trunkload of cash.
You'd think.
Yeah. And now he's selling his Calvin and Hobbes
because he needs another kidney. He needs another liver.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Lay off the scotch.
Yeah. Listen, if you need another liver, fine. Right? Do it. Right? But I'm just saying, don't do it to augment your wife's wardrobe.
She needs another diamond ring.
Right, or something like that. Anyway.
Anyway, one more piece of artwork.
Oh, one more piece of
art. Carmen Infantino of Flash fame so he did the cover for, and Murphy Anderson, they both did the cover for Flash number 137. And this is sort of a famous issue because it's the old Flash with the long Flash. What's that? Without the old Flash with the new Flash.
Old Flash with the long Flash. I'm telling you, Flash. Listen, Flash. You are one long Flash, man. I'm telling you. Woo! No, I'm not the fast Flash. I'm the long Flash. Anyway, Chris, let me take over. I can see you're having problems. So, one of the covers to the old Flash, number one. Come on, stop.
Sorry.
Number 137.
Yes.
Okay. You take over.
Okay. Flash number 137 from 1963 sold for $167,000. $167,000. Oh. Okay. We got to bring this back together.
Party.
Bring this back together here. $167,000.
Wow, Chris, that's a lot of money.
At the Heritage auction site.
Right.
You know what? Let's take a quick musical interlude.
Please,
here. Recompose
come on, help
ourselves.
Me.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Josie and the Pussycats.
Well done, Chris.
All right.
That was Josie and the Pussycats.
All right.
Chris, let's talk about carrying on industry news. Let's talk about, Christmas is here.
It is. It is. You know what?
Let's talk about, what should we talk about?
Well, you know what? If you're ever wondering about, here's the thing. You know what?
Here's the thing.
Sometimes people are wondering, what are they going to get for their, you know, their buddy that's all into comic books or their niece or nephew that's all into Transformers or something like that. But, you know, they don't really know what to get them because you're just not really that in with the in crowd, right? You're not really too sure what kids are going to like. Well, here's the thing. So you've heard of Nike, right?
Nike, yes.
Nike is a huge company. Started making the waffle shoes back in the 1960s.
Yep.
Well, they've teamed up with a guy named Calvin Johnson. And Calvin Johnson and Nike have teamed up with the Transformers company. Not company, but the franchise, I should
franchise,
say.
Franchise, yeah.
Yeah, and they have started producing shoes and hoodies and T-shirts and all kinds of stuff based on the Transformers logos. So go ahead.
No. Like, this is what I don't get. Okay, you're going to have to explain this to me. Honestly, I don't get this.
Okay.
So, excuse me. You can go into your local comic book shop on any given day, any time of the year, and if they're a comic shop that's half decent, They'll be carrying some T-shirts and some stuff like that.
Right.
And they'll have Spider-Man T-shirt, you know, that classic Batman logo
sure.
T-shirt.
Yep.
And guarantee you, Chris, guarantee you,
yep.
they'll have that. What do you call that, Megatron guy?
Yeah, classic, you know, Decepticon or...
Decepticon, those heads,
yep,
you know,
yep.
Those T-shirts.
Or Autobot emblem, yeah,
yeah
for sure.
Yeah, because those things are what we call in the industry evergreens.
Absolutely,
they
yeah.
They never die.
Absolutely.
They're not tied to an event, so it doesn't come and go, right?
But here's the thing.
So hold on. Let me, before I forget, because I'm forgetting my train of thought today.
Sorry,
that's okay. So the only difference now is they got a little Nike swoosh on top of
it. But that's the whole thing. Right?
Is it?
For sure, because you know what? For people that don't know, because you know what? People are very savvy about their clothing these days.
You're right.
And they don't know, okay, well, you know, should I spend $25 on this T-shirt? Is it going to last? You know, why should I buy it here? I can go maybe go down to the dollar store and get something. But you know what? As soon as they see that Nike swoosh on it,
right.
they know that, well, supposedly there's going to be some
quality,
sort of quality to
right,
it,
right?
Right? So now they can, and the beauty of this is that these might become available at places like Sport Check, right? Or like Litson's or, you know, some sort of, you know, famous sporting goods store, and now all of a sudden these people can get all the stuff there.
Chris, I love it. You know what? I was with I took my kid to or my kid took me to Chicago a couple of weeks ago. We
right.
were at the Bauer Invitational, which is the world's largest junior hockey tournament.
Bauer, is that like the skating? Like,
yeah, the Bauer Company.
Yeah, okay.
On our way home, we had a couple hours to kill. We were downtown Chicago. They have a four-story. Yeah, on the Golden Mile there,
yeah.
Nike store.
Yeah, right. I've been there. It's awesome. Yeah.
And so, this is, you know what? Like, they have that whole... You walk in. First of all, it's really dumb because, you know, like, hey, you get Blackhawks? Oh, we don't have hockey here.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah. Floor, same thing. First floor, basketball.
Right.
Second floor, football.
Yeah.
Third floor, baseball.
Yeah.
Fourth floor, comics.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yes.
Comic books and toys and pop culture.
And you know what? Why not? Because
that's,
you know,
cool.
What? There are a lot of
the busiest floor on that flipping store.
It would be, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that like that, you know, they're athletes and they like sporting stuff, and yet they still like to have a little bit of reminiscing about cartoons and comics. They still think Spider-Man's cool. They might not want to wear a full Spider-Man T-shirt.
Who would?
But some people might.
Right.
Our engineer is wearing one right now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's good there, Mr. Roebuck.
Anyways, but some people might not want to wear a full thing, but once you put the Nike logo on it, now it's become accepted by the athletic community.
You don't
right?
get beat up in the playground.
Exactly.
Very important.
Well, you might, because they might want to steal
it. Take
it
from you, right. Fair
right.
enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very cool. I guess out of this story, what I'm taking, Chris, is I like the fact that we're cross-promoting
Absolutely.
Our pop culture with the sporting. Yeah, you know what? The jocks and the nerds.
Finally coming together as one.
Yeah, they're coming together. Chris.
Come together right now.
Over me. I like it. All right, good for Nike, good for Transformers. Chris, let's move on. Let's talk about this fiasco, this travesty that is Spider-Man number 700.
This is craziness. So
it
Spider-Man
is.
Number 700 is going to be seven. I didn't realize this until I read this article. $7.99 is going to be the asking price for that comic book.
$7.99 is the cover?
$7.99 is the cover price.
What a shit.
Coming out December 26th. Are you going to be open Boxing Day?
Damn right.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, the 700th and the last issue before the relaunch of Superior Spider-Man. And so far, the comic book pre-orders, I should say, have topped over 200,000.
200,000.
Yes. At almost $8 a piece.
At $8. That is 200,000 times 8. That's like $34 million.
At least, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now... The funny thing about this is there is a – Chris, this is the stupidest thing ever. There's a 1 in 700 variant.
That's insanity.
Yeah. So you order 700 at $8 each.
Yeah.
That's $5,600 you're spending on one comic book.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell 700
no.
of the Batman. I mean, unless you're, you know, Midtown Comics in New York or something like that. But
yeah.
you're not going to sell 700 of these number ones.
No.
So – As a variant, you're going to have to charge.
So how much would you sell if you got that variant, and in your store? Also, like in all seriousness, how much would you sell that comic for?
It's tricky, Chris, because what happens is you can play that Shining Knight. You can play that conscientious retailer.
Right.
You can play that, right? But what has to happen
like,
is...
What do you mean by that?
By keeping the price down.
Like what, 10
like
bucks?
No. Let's say $49.99. Okay. What you have to be aware of as a retailer is the active, very, very active immediate back issue market that revolves around these issues on places like eBay and places like that. So, yeah, you know, I'm the conscientious comic book store. I'm going to sell my 1 in 200 variant for the same price as the other ones for because I priced them the same.
And then he's going
to And then he puts it on eBay and he gets $179 for it. Right,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, so, I completely agree. Yeah.
So you have to be aware you know, the ground rules and kind of and play the game as a retailer. Be fair as a retailer, but also be market savvy.
Right. Now, apparently there's also going to be a Steve Ditko variant as well.
Steve? They got Steve out of the...
Out
of the coffin?
I don't know if he's dead. Is he dead? I don't think he's dead.
Oh, he's not dead.
He's dead.
I'm sorry.
But
you
I don't
know what? I didn't know he wasn't dead. I thought Steve Ditko was
dead. I don't think
dead.
He's dead. And I don't think that this is a new piece of artwork. I don't think. I don't know. I got to say, I'm not really up on that. But there's going to be a 1 in 200 Steve Ditko variant. There's going to be a 1 in 50 anniversary college variant. 1 in 50 Marcos Martin variant. 1 in 50 Humberto Ramos variant. But here's my question to you. And I don't know if you'll know the answer to this. And I don't mean to stump you on this.
Yeah.
But let's say you order 700.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get the one Joe Quesada 1 in 700 variant.
Yes, you will.
Do you also get the 1 in 200 variant?
You get three of them.
You get three of those.
No. Yeah.
And then you get, you know what, 14 of the college variant.
Yeah.
Okay. So you do get all those.
It's yes,
not like you have
do.
To. Okay. So now,
I think.
Right.
All right. I'm pretty sure.
Right. But now as a store. Would it behoove you to charge somebody $5,600 for that one comic if they wanted to get it?
Again,
if they really wanted to get it.
Going back to the point, if they wanted to get it and they're willing to pay that, we would do it for them, right?
Right.
But what you have to be aware of, if that's different, I mean, it's different and it's not, right? I mean, if a guy comes and says, hey, I want the 1 in 200 variant, and you say, sorry, you know, we only can sell 110 copies
right.
based on our pull list and you know, and getting 20, 30 for the shelf
yeah.
or whatever. So we can't add that. No, I'll cover the extra expense. No problem, buddy. Right. You know, okay, fine. Right. You
right.
order
so
for
guy, if a guy comes in and says, you know what, I'll buy 700 copies because I want to get that one.
Or whatever. Or I'll pay this much for that 1 in 700
right.
variant to have.
Okay.
We'll order it for him. But it's different. Where it's different is when the shops order it for the wall. Right?
Right,
where the shops order it for, you know, hey, we have the 1 in 200 variant. Aren't
right.
you enticed? Don't you want to pay $200 for this? Hello,
right.
you know
right.
that
right.
kind of stuff. So that's
Fair
where
enough.
That's where you have to kind of be fair, but at the same time aware.
Right, right,
right?
I understand.
Fair
I understand.
And aware.
Fair, be fair and aware.
And aware.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Well, you know what? Let's keep on going with the comics coming out in the new. Oh, we're gonna talk. You want to talk about Gideon?
Well,
Heights?
No, we're running out of time.
Oh, you know what? Jeez, I didn't even talk. I gotta ask you about the show. Let's forget about the Riddler.
Okay, we'll get to the Riddler next week.
How was the comic show next week or last week? Last week. So there's the Toronto Comic Con last Sunday, and I didn't get a chance to go. I was packing because I'm moving soon. But
right.
you did go to the show, and how was it?
It was very exciting, Chris. I was at the Royal Connaught. It was Grey Cup Day.
Royal
Not
York.
Royal Canal.
Royal York.
Royal York. Sorry, I'm a Hamiltonian. Sorry.
Yeah.
Royal York, right down on front. It was Ray Cup Day. It was a zoo. It was busy.
Right.
It was a small little room. It was a quaint place for comics.
You and I were talking about that earlier. It was kind of like those old days of comic
shows.
Yeah. Nobody cared about them, and so you and I would be there, but nobody else.
Yeah. Well, no, there was enough people there to make the dealers that were there happy, which was great to see. Right. There might have been about 40 dealers there, maybe 35 even.
Was Harley there?
No. No.
Did Big B set up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. There was Harley Yee from Michigan, one of the biggest U.S. dealers, wasn't there.
Okay.
And anyway, I actually went there. It was kind of exciting. I went there for the first meeting of of there's a group of us, the four of us. There was four. I won't mention names this show, but there was four gentlemen of
you're no gentleman.
Yeah. Okay. Three gentlemen.
Okay.
And me. And we were there. We were convening the first meeting of what we call the – I don't know what we call it, the WECA Project, the Canadian Whites Project, WECA being the war – I think it's the War Exchange Conservation Act from 1941.
Okay.
Basically, in a quick nutshell, late 1940, Canada's at war. U.S. isn't. Canada bans imports of comic books. Yeah. So overnight, a Canadian comic book industry springs up, flourishes till 1946.
Right.
When the act is repealed, and Batman and Superman start flooding the borders again.
DC Comics kills our Canadian. Yeah. Later on.
Kills our Canadian industry. Yeah. Right. Okay. So these books, because we're so backwards as a country that we couldn't even figure out how to print color comics. They were black and white, and thus the term the Canadian Whites.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, it's a neglected niche collectible strain.
Right.
And the four of us got together. We're trying to work on a project on.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, on cataloging, and there's less than 600 of them.
These books are incredibly rare.
Extremely rare.
Right. So 600 in its entirety of all the Canadian Whites.
Yes.
And some of them, like, there may only be two or three known copies.
Four known copies. Three known copies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking extremely scarce.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we did as a team, the four of us, we got together and we had our first meeting. It was great. We were in the back room. Chris, we were in the room where the chairs and the tables are.
Yeah.
Right? They let us in there.
Nice.
And they let us in there and you know, rats running around. No,
right,
there's never any rats, by the way, Royal York. But yeah, we had a great meeting. We agreed to meet at the next Comic-Con in March.
Cool.
And we came to basically put an agenda together on cataloging all the Canadian Whites that are available.
So now how did you go about starting that? Did you first, I mean, obviously you must know about how many titles there are.
Yeah.
And then kind of go.
There has been some groundwork laid. There is an index, an unofficial index of the Canadian Whites that were printed. They're in the archives in Ottawa. There are one of the three big publishers of that era were publishers called Maple Leaf Comics out of Vancouver.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anglo-American out of Toronto and Bell Syndicates out of Toronto.
Bell as in like
Alexander Graham Bell, but the guy's last name was Bell, so telephone
thing.
It's
got nothing to do with a phone company.
No.
Okay.
All the Bell books are in the archives in Ottawa.
Okay.
So we have a gentleman going up there, and he's going to index all the archives.
Nice.
And another gentleman in Toronto who is one of the premier collectors of this stuff.
Right.
He's going to catalog his collection, which is, I believe is about 70% of the existing Canadian Whites.
Oh, so he doesn't have all of them yet.
Not all of them. Plus this guy in Ottawa, plus us, the other two guys. I have a small smattering of stuff.
Right.
And he does. Together, we may cover 90% of the existing ones.
Okay, cool.
And then there's a plan to get the word out, to get maybe funding.
Yeah,
really want to do this. We want to promote and rediscover the Canadian heritage of comic books from the war era.
Sounds awesome.
Right.
You know, you know what I would love to see one day? I would love to see one of those Canadian heritage commercials and talk about the Canadian Whites. You know, one of those.
What do they call them? Vinaigrettes or something?
Vignettes.
Vinaigrettes. Yeah, do you have that raspberry vinaigrette there, pal?
I like the balsamic.
Yeah. Just sprinkle a little on
vignettes,
that.
Yeah.
Little on my
no, I know what you mean. I think they're initially by CIBC something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
I know. Those things are
very
awesome.
Cool,
yeah.
Well, I hope so, Chris. Anyway, that's what I was in Toronto for. Sorry, and hopefully I'll be able to fill the listeners in as we go forward.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a great cause, and you know, and luckily enough, we have you on the air that we can talk about this as updates occur.
Perfect.
So months from now, when something else happens, when you guys go to the next meeting, you can let us know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Well, you know what? Sadly, Walt, that is all the time that we have for today.
All right, Chris. Listen, this show, Comic Culture, is produced by Anthony Falcone, sitting at home sick, by the way, today. So
poor.
I hope you feel better, eh?
Yep.
And for comments, I'm sorry, and it's engineered by the man, Andrew Roebuck.
Young Buck.
To my left over here.
Yep.
And for comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add your comments. Also, check us out at getthepointradio.com.
All right. And remember to go out and support your local comic book retailer because they give you all the best comics in the world.
Absolutely right. Please, please. So what Chris said, go out and support your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.